Oh, yeah, that's right. Board Wrestling Fan episode, radio episode 31.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
What the hell is going on? I can hear me. Oh, there I go. I'm gone. Okay. All right. We're starting this live thing now here on Mixlr. Mixlr.com/boardwrestlingfan. If you're listening to the podcast, we did do this show live, and you should have been listening live. But if you're not, that's cool. Whatever. Hey, we're here. It is I, Think So Joe, live, along with JT.
Yep.
And G.
What's up? Psycho Sid moment. Can I do another take?
We're live, pal.
I gotta go play some soft.
All right. It's funny because G's the only one that's actually watched all the shows this week. We were just discussing it before the show. I couldn't watch all the shows this week.
That's what you get when you subscribe to DirecTV. I could have told you that.
Yeah, I know. I also didn't watch NXT, so I'm way behind. But nobody
watches NXT, so...
I've been watching NXT. I like the show. I like the new format. I apparently didn't miss much this week. It was apparently just three matches. And they were all, like, WWE main roster guys, except for the Bray Wyatt match. So I didn't miss anything, apparently.
Yeah, I got a bit of a conspiracy theory about the Bray Wyatt thing, too. I heard about this match, like, a month and a half ago. And they said since then he's had matches where he's cut out elements of his ring entrance. So I'm kind of thinking they might actually have a few in the can that they're going to show while he's out with his torn pec. But okay, we'll have to wait and find out. Because there, at the beginning of the ring entrance, he sings a little snippet from the Rolling Stones' Time's on My Side. And I heard he ended up cutting that out. And I'm confused. We'll find out. But that'll be the indicator, I suppose, next week if we see him.
All right. Yeah, I mean, you got to figure they just tape new episodes. So if they have matches of his, it's going to look weird because you're going to see the different crowd. But you won't notice because you're not paying attention. At least that's what they hope. That's why they could tape Raw and SmackDown in one night, because they tape Raw and SmackDown in one night, and then you see like the same crowd, but you're not thinking about it. Whatever. Anyway. Speaking of Raw, it was live at the Pepsi Center this week in Denver, Colorado. It's funny because you remember they had this big controversy with the Pepsi Center a few years ago? Where the Nuggets were booked on the same night as Raw, and they bailed and they went to the Staples Center. This time they actually canceled the show somewhere else and came to the Pepsi Center for SmackDown. So I guess they made it up to the Denver fans.
They apparently had to cancel the SmackDown show because of the massive fires. I don't know which state it was supposed to be in, because there's a lot of places burning up.
It was Colorado. It was elsewhere in Colorado, but from like the reports that some fans have put out, it was like, oh, well, where the show was, there was no fires. They were just canceling because of lack of ticket sales. But, you know, that's hearsay. Who knows?
Shenanigans. You
know. Yeah. Raw opened with a recap of last week, and then AJ comes out, and she proposes to CM Punk, and then Daniel Bryan proposes to her, and she says by the end of the show, she'll leave with her husband, future husband, whatever.
Hornswoggle!
Botched spot had it right. need a punchline for a joke? It's Hornswoggle.
I've been bad, I haven't been reading them lately. I didn't even know that, but I was thinking that when I found out he was the anonymous, the laptop.
Oh, yes, that's it. We got our anonymous GM, Michael Cole. Can I have your attention for a moment? Or can I have your attention, please? Whatever he says. And books the tag team match, Daniel Bryan and Eve against CM Punk and AJ. And let's see. Get Alberto Del Rio. No, we get Sheamus versus Jack Swagger, and then Alberto Del Rio attacks Sheamus. I don't know what the hell happened. Oh, no, he cut a promo on him from the Titantron. And then Swagger gets another bro kick. And Santino decides he's going to find out who the anonymous GM is. And he puts on his Sherlock Holmes hat and magnifying glass and a pipe. We find out The Rock will be at the 1,000th WWE Raw. We get Tensai and Ziggler versus Christian and Tyson Kidd. And it doesn't last long. Tensai and Ziggler pick up the win. Cole and Lawler get a new argument. Cole spills water on Lawler. The anonymous GM books them in a match. At least he allows the WWE Universe to book them in a match if they so choose to do so. And Michael Cole makes a bunch of good points during this show. Where we don't want to see him wrestle, and we hate seeing him wrestle, and we think it's a waste of time when he wrestles, but then we all vote for him to wrestle. It's hypocritical of the WWE Universe. Let's see. Brodus Clay versus the rarely seen these days Drew McIntyre. I'm sure you can guess where that one went.
McIntyre gets a rare one-off victory.
Yeah, right.
Hey, man, he's the chosen one, Joe.
He is. Chosen. He was, anyway.
Yeah. For those who don't know, JT has not watched even Raw yet, so he's just pulling things out of his arm.
Yeah. Santino accuses Jericho of being the GM. Jericho says, hey, why? How do I know it's not you? And Santino leaves. Big Show comes in and they discuss their time in Jericho. And Show says he had some of his most embarrassing moments in Jericho. And he tells Jericho, stay out of his way or he'll knock him out. Stephanie McMahon gets her favorite Raw moment. Wait, didn't she get one last week?
Yep.
She gets two. She can't have just one. She gets two. It was her renewing the wedding vows just before WrestleMania 18, where she gets pedigreed. John Cena comes out and he cuts a promo and what else is new? And then we get our match. John Cena and Kane versus Big Show and Chris Jericho. Cena and Kane win by disqualification because Big Show decides he'd rather beat everybody up with ladders. Notice he didn't try to climb any of them. Anyway. Raw's aired more episodes than a lot of shows. That's true. Eve tries to I don't know what the hell she tries to do to Punk, but she tells him he's been overshadowed by AJ.
And same. Brock Lesnar, and The Rock.
Yeah.
And Stone Cold, and Triple H, and everybody basically is overshadowing CM Punk.
Santino.
Which is an interesting point, too, because we've talked a little bit about the main event versus the title.
Right.
Anyways, wanted to get the 2 cents in there. Go ahead, man.
Santino runs into the Great Khali. He thinks Kali's the anonymous GM. He's not. We get Sin Cara versus Heath. Huh?
You can't use a cell phone either.
Yeah. Sin Cara versus Heath Slater. Sin Cara wins, of course. Slater says, hey, I could beat anybody, even though he just lost. And then he gets Bob Backlund, who beats him. We get our vote. 75% of the WWE Universe wants to see Michael Cole versus Jerry Lawler.
Of course.
This despite the fact that just a day before Raw, we were having a long discussion about the worst WrestleManias in one of the Facebook groups that G and I both belong to. And WrestleMania 27 kept coming up because of the Cole-Lawler match. But we come back, we get Michael Cole versus Jerry Lawler, which is We get Booker T. He throws Michael Cole back into the ring. Lawler hits the airplane spin, pins Cole, and then the anonymous GM says he reverses the decision, and Michael Cole wins due to outside interference. Santino comes out. He says there's only one place in the building the anonymous GM can be, and that's under the ring. And, of course, out comes Hornswoggle. And I agree with the sentiments of Reitman. Yeah, that happened. Let's see. AJ and CM Punk versus Eve and Daniel Bryan. And AJ and Punk win because Bryan bails on Eve. And Bryan says, hey, this should prove that I care about your love more than any match. Marry me. And Punk stops him and says, no. AJ, I'm not going to marry you, but at least I care about you enough to tell the truth. And AJ slaps both of them. And once again, AJ, main events Raw. 2 weeks in a row now. She's the last thing you see on Raw. Gee, thoughts on Raw, since you actually watched it.
Yeah, I had a few. My thoughts with the double marriage proposal segment were essentially three words. End this now. I'm done with it. This storyline needs to move on. I said it last week, and I'm even more disgusted by it at this point. I loved it in the beginning. I think AJ has a lot of talent, but it's got to end, man. It's got to end. The Hornswoggle thing, initially I was a lot more angry about it than I am now, because I thought about it a bit, and, you know, general sentiments about the whole laptop was we all were really sick of it. We wanted it to go away. So for a one-off, just kind of end it and sweep it under the rug, I guess I can tolerate it. Being that it's Hornswoggle, though, the only thing that made sense to me about it being Hornswoggle, there's only one, because there's probably plenty of holes out there. People, feel free to point out if you've been following the storyline better than myself and remember it, is that Hornswoggle couldn't speak during the laptop phase. So to be able to communicate using a laptop actually kind of makes sense. Other than that, I got nothing. This was a really terrible go-home show for Raw. And I think one of the big reasons was they were going up against the home run derby for Major League Baseball on Monday night. And that's a pretty big draw for sports fans in the United States of America.
You would think so, but I mean, I'm in the U.S. I hate baseball. What about you, JT?
Oh, I like baseball. Yeah. It's just it's only worth watching after the All-Star game because no one cares the first half of the year, because you could have the best team in the first half of the year and end up in fourth or last place, you know, at the end of the season. So,
all right.
Didn't watch anything, so no opinions on Raw.
If the Yankees are in the World Series, I will watch baseball, but the World Series happens during hockey season, so screw baseball. Anyway. What the hell is that? Anyway. All right, I'm going out of order here. There was a TNA pay-per-view this past Sunday. We almost forgot about. Well, I almost forgot about because I didn't get to watch Impact on Thursday with the Fallout. But real quick before we get into Impact, I'll go through the card. I'll run down the winners here. We got the four-way X Division match. Rubix versus Mason Andrews versus Lars Olney versus Dakota Darso. Mason Andrews wins. He gets to go on to the tournament where he faces Kid Cash. Let's see. Andrews gets the win over Kid Cash. You get Doug Williams versus Kenny King. Kenny King moves on to the second round. Sanjay Dutt versus Rashad Cameron. Sanjay moves on to the second round. We get Jesse Sorensen back in the Impact Zone. Followed by the guy that put him out of action, Zema Ion, in action versus Flip Casanova. Zema Ion wins, moves on. Kurt Angle versus Samoa Joe, a Bound for Glory series match, I do believe, and Joe wins by submission. Daniels versus AJ Styles, last man standing match. Styles wins with a Styles Clash through a table off the stage.
Yeah, that was awesome.
I seen the GIF on Wrestling with Text there. We got our X Division Finals, the Ultimate X Match, Mason Andrews, Zema Ion, Kenny King, Sanjay Dutt, and despite the fact that if I was TNA, I would have put the belt on Kenny King immediately, Zema Ion wins the match, and he dedicates it to Jesse Sorensen. And finally, our main event of the evening, the greatest man who ever lived, Austin Aries, versus the It Factor of professional wrestling, Bobby Roode. And much to our surprise and I'm sure delight, Austin Aries wins the TNA World Heavyweight Championship. And of course, then they had the whole mix up with Viacom and DirecTV, and I didn't get to watch him celebrate.
Well, let it be known, it wasn't TNA. It was it was Spike TV, who was part of Viacom.
Right. That's what I said, isn't it?
No, you said then they had the thing with you know.
With Viacom and DirecTV. Yeah. I didn't mean Spike TV. I didn't mean TNA directly.
Well, I didn't want people. Don't want people to think that.
Okay. You're almost as literal as my 8-year-old, but
thanks.
Hey, we're gonna go back to my house now. We haven't even been to your house today. Anyway. So since I didn't go watch Impact, I'll go through the results real quick. Or at least I'll try. Let's see here. Bored wrestling fan. We got the Bully Ray versus Joseph Park match. Bully Ray won, but caught a black hole slam afterward, with Joseph Park having no idea what happened.
Yeah, he gets busted open at the end of the match from Bully Ray. And he looks down and sees the blood on his hand and kind of has like a breakdown, or I guess it's a bad lack of a better word, and drops him in the black hole slam, and then he refers back to Joseph Park. So they're kind of starting to tease the, I don't know, the equivalency of a werewolf or something, you know, yeah. Shape-shifting abyss. See blood. So yeah, he took the thumbtacks too.
Yeah.
It was a pretty, it was quote unquote a garbage match. If you like the weapons and stuff, you'll love this match. If you hate it, you'll hate this match. It's probably one of those.
I did just finish watching the ECW unreleased Blu-ray yesterday. Anyway, so Bully Ray backstage, he wants to know who was that. Samoa Joe versus RVD in the Bound for Glory series, and well, RVD wins. He gets 7 points. From what I understand, it's because Joe got greedy and was trying to get the 10 points for the submission.
Yeah, I'd say that's a fairly accurate way to look at it. Another interesting thing, too, is this was actually RVD's 4th match in the tournament, whereas it was Joe's, I think, 7th or 8th.
Oh, okay.
So Joe might have a pretty substantial lead now, but there's a bunch of guys that have only had, like, as low as 2 matches in some instances, except Robbie, who has 3, but he's not going to win.
No. So Claire Lynch is back, much to our delight, I'm sure. She rolls up with a cigarette in hand, and she doesn't want to be bothered, so she drives away.
Now this cigarette bit, I've heard a lot of debate about, and not what you would expect, which was my first assumption, is like, bad mom smoking when she's pregnant. Their suggestion is they're alluding to that it's all a work, that she's not pregnant at all, like a work within a work, like Shakespearean, and not like, you know, kayfabe marks type of work. And the fact that she was, you know, seen with the cigarette is supposed to be an indicator that, you know, at some point we'll get a quit. Soon enough, we're going to get a reveal that it was fake, and she's probably in on it with Chris Daniels. But I don't know, man. She's supposed to be a crack whore junkie, so bad mom works for me, too. I mean, that,
yeah,
we'll find out.
Well, you know how wrestling pregnancies work. Somewhere along the way, she's going to, quote, lose her baby. Gene Snitsky's going to come along.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's not my fault.
And it's good.
Let's see, what else? Styles comes out ready to beat another lesson into Daniels, only for Claire to stop him and confirms what Daniels has been saying that he is the father. AJ is dumbfounded. Wait a minute, didn't she just drive off?
Yeah, she's really quick. They did have a commercial break, actually. And here's the funny thing about the DirecTV thing. They had commercials for DirecTV on Impact tonight.
Really?
I'm just saying. Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah. And then they also had a ton of segments where they were like, if you can't watch this right now, make sure you call DirecTV. And you just have to think, like, no, I can't watch this right now, you stupid, stupid, foolish fools.
I can't watch the show. I must be watching this show so they can tell me to call DirecTV.
I know. It's so silly. I don't know. Just give your head a shake, folks. The only thing that they did say, a lot of them were built right into the program with Mike Tenay going off in rants. One thing that I thought was made sense was, like, call your friends and tell them to come over to watch Impact. I don't know if that's going to happen, but, you know, I'm just saying. That at least makes sense.
You have to get people there watching Impact to have friends that want to come over to watch Impact. And, I mean, you know, the show has been a lot better lately, but, I mean, if I had Time Warner and JT had Viacom, or not Viacom, DirecTV, I'm not going to call JT and be like, hey, man, come over and watch Impact, because I know JT is not going to watch Impact.
Plus, it'll be, by the time you get to your house, it'll be over with, so.
That's true, too. You only live 4 hours away.
No, two. Two hours? Half.
Okay.
Two and a half.
Okay. Oh, boy. All right, so Jesse Sorensen and Zema Ion. And Dakota Darso wants revenge on Zema Ion for whatever. And from what I understand, Darso dominated the match, but Zema wound up winning at the very end. And Ion cut a promo about being effing dangerous after he locked an armbar on Darso for pure spite. Let's see, what else? Austin Aries comes out. He's the greatest man who ever lived, and now he's the world champion. The greatest world champion that ever lived. He's even got... He's the talk of the wrestling town. He's even got champions from other promotions congratulating him. Which is true. Mm-hmm. On Twitter, CM Punk congratulated him. Which is awesome. But Bobby Roode comes out, and all he can say is, it's a fluke, and he storms off.
Well, he was able to say something else. He kept going, you, all of this, arg, about 18 times. Then he said fluke. It was kind of weird.
Yeah. All right, Gail Kim gets her rematch against Tessmacher with Brooke Hogan on commentary. Maybe it's better I didn't have Viacom Viacom channels this week.
Well, you know, brother.
Yeah.
She could be a natural, you know, brother.
Yeah.
Dude. Brother.
And Tessmacher gets the win. JT Hogan. He's back. What do we get? Angle and Anderson. And Angle wins with the Angle Slam, getting 7 more points in Bound for Glory series. Roode storms into Hogan's...
Angle got roughed up in this one. He was It's like clutching his right pectoral and bleeding from the mouth, and like spitting up blood at the end of it. I don't know, man.
Wow.
You might have hurt himself. It's hard to tell with that guy, you know, but
yeah,
didn't look pretty.
All right. We got Rude storming into Hogan's office. He wants a rematch. Hogan tells him at the next pay-per-view. But since next week is open fight night, he can try his luck there. Sting, there was this whole thing going on with Sting and Hogan through the whole program that Pintnauer didn't really get into. I guess it was Sting and Hogan. They were calling out the aces and eights. And you know, other guys were like, oh, we got your back. No, 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 we're going to take care of this. We got it. It's old school. And then Hogan gets taken out in the back. And Sting comes out. He's calling out for Hogan. He sees Hogan got jumped in the back. He goes to go help out. He gets jumped on the ramp. And we still don't actually know who the aces and eights are. They were all still wearing their hoods and all that. So that was the end of the show. Gee, tell us more about the show, because I didn't get to see it.
Okay, well, you did a pretty good job running through it. Overall, it was a pretty good episode. But I think, you know, it's kind of, like you noted, tragic that TNA has finally found legs and now they're, you know, 20% of their market is gone. Their rating was down substantially as a result, obviously. I think the highlights of the show for me really were some of the pretty much the storyline with Austin Aries, and some of the matches were quite good. I think it wasn't the best episode in the last, I'd say, you know, 2 months or so, but it certainly was still, you know, staying at a pretty good high quality level. Brooke Hogan was actually not too bad on commentary. I know it sounds odd coming out of my mouth, because I've been really critical. In fact, I would say I've been mean. But she did an okay job. Next week should be interesting. I believe Rude and Aries is a non-title match. It's just a challenge, like a fight
right.
type of setup. And there will be another gut check. Whether or not that means anything, I don't know. That's still my biggest knock on the program as of late. I like the idea of the gut check a lot. I don't know if I like the way it's been handled, but I'm going to stay open-minded, and I really hope this DirecTV thing gets figured out pretty quick. I can't see it going for too long. Like, something's got to give. Both parties look really bad right now. DirecTV might lose a lot of subscribers. Viacom's going to get a lot of hate. It's just not worth the headache for everyone involved, but I don't know. I know we might talk about that a bit in the news, but I think it's kind of really relevant when we're talking about Impact too. So,
yeah.
Otherwise, hopefully you get a chance to check it out. I did post a link somewhere for the possibility of being able to watch a full episode. Anyway.
Yeah, I caught that. They're also, from what I understand, they're going to start airing 1 week after the show actually airs on television. They're going to put it on the website, so you can watch the full episode. A week is kind of a long time, though. So, you know, whatever. Okay, well, one more wrestling show to get through is, real quick, I'll run down NXT, which was, there was only three matches, apparently. Camacho pinned Tyson Kidd with help from Michael McGillicuddy. Bray Wyatt defeated Aiden English, and Titus O'Neil and Darren Young defeated the Usos. That was NXT for the week, apparently. Any thoughts real quick before we go on, G?
It was an okay episode. It was very, very much clipped together. There was different announcers for every match. It was obviously like I was talking about earlier with the Bray Wyatt thing, I suspect that this is going to be a trend for a little while going on, but it was really obvious to me this week, just because suddenly JR was there, and then he's gone, and William Regal appears, and then he's gone, and, you know, the Bray Wyatt match was fun to watch. The spot where he does the waltz with his opponent is pretty awesome, actually. Well, I hope I'm right about the conspiracy thing, because that way we'll get to see a few more matches, and then we'll have to wait probably like five months maybe before we get to see him again.
Yeah. All right. Real quick before we go on to SmackDown, quick shout out to the WonderPod Online guys.
Brother, dude, brother.
Hey, go.
Those guys don't know what hit them. We invaded another WonderPod this week. Oh, and our third man was revealed to be JT Hogan.
You know something, dude, brother. Dude, brother.
Yes, WonderPod, WonderPodOnline.com. We were a part of WonderPod Online episode 118, and we got to talk about the Super Nacho Man in Mike Tyson's Punch-Out. All right. So, let's see. Friday night, Zackdown.
Woo, 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 you know it. Unfortunately, we didn't watch it.
Man, Lance Storm's got a good point here. If AJ walks out of Money in the Bank with the title, I wouldn't blame him for quitting the business.
Until ROH wants him to put another one of their guys over.
Right. Okay, so we get our explanation of why Zack Ryder is the GM. And he comes out, and Alberto Del Rio comes out and interrupts him. And he gets booked against Sin Cara, who wants revenge. And, of course, Alberto wins. he wins with the armbar. And then we get our first taste of Tout on WWE programming, which we'll get into in a little bit. There's a long, long, long thing about that in the news. We'll get into it. Let's see, what else? Big Show comes in to complain about Zack Ryder. Says he'll knock him out and be the GM if he wants to be, and Ryder books him against the Great Khali. Yep. Darren Young versus Primo. And look, I'm all for managers, but does the guy really have to have a damn microphone on at all times?
Yeah, no, that mostly from last week. I didn't watch this week, but I know from watching and from hearing him last week, yeah, no, he doesn't need.
I mean,
I think it can work, but they gotta modify what he's doing. You know, like one of my favorite managers of all time is he of the Megaphone, Jimmy the Mouth of the South Heart.
You took the words right out of my mouth, G. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, I think the difference between Jimmy and AEW is like AEW has a presence just like Jimmy Hart does, but I think Jimmy had a little bit more tact of knowing what to say and when to say it, whereas I think AEW really needs a little more redefinition of knowing when to talk, because a lot of the things that he was saying was pretty much like pointless. It's like, watch out, Darren, get that money, and it was like, I agree with you guys. I think there's potential here. I'd like to see it continue just because I do really miss managers. And I think it can work. Go ahead.
Okay.
I'm done.
Plus, like, Jimmy Hart, you didn't really hear it. You just heard him talking. You didn't really hear him. Like, you hear AW when he talks like he's one of the commentators. I think that's one of the things that's really wrong with it. It's like, if he wants to talk, that's fine. But don't make it like he's chatting with the commentators at the table.
Yeah, I mean, that's what bugs me about it. I mean, Bobby Heenan didn't need a microphone. You know, if you needed to hear what Bobby Heenan was saying to his guy in the ring, they'd cut to a close-up of Bobby Heenan saying what he needs to say to his guy in the ring. You know, Jimmy Hart had the megaphone, yes, but Jimmy Hart wasn't screaming into the megaphone at all times like he was on that Super SmackDown a while ago, the old school or whatever the hell it was. Jimmy Hart was the megaphone was there so his guy could blast the other guy in the face with it, and that was it. So, I mean, I don't need AW on the mic at all times. I'm all for managers. I'm all for AW managing the primetime players, but he does not need to be mic'd up at all times. Now, if he had Tony Atlas with him, that's another story. Exactly. Anyway, Primo picks up the win in this one. Christian's 1,000th Raw 1,000 moment, Edge's retirement on April 11th of last year. I gotta agree with you, G. Good choice. Edge was one of my favorite wrestlers. You could buy the Spear shirt right now on barbershopwindow.com. Again, we're not affiliated. We just like their stuff. Is that a real tweet from Dave Grohl?
I can't 100% validate it, but I believe so.
Nickelback. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Nickelback walks into a bar. There's no punchline because ruining music isn't funny.
Wait, G, I was going to say, G, I thought you didn't have a Twitter.
I don't. I just have my other ways of finding these things.
So basically, that means he doesn't want us all telling us how much we love G on Twitter.
There you go.
Yeah, that's it. Zack Ryder's talking to Sheamus. And Jericho comes in, he calls the whole thing a train wreck, and Ryder makes the match, Sheamus versus Jericho, much to Jericho's chagrin. Christian and Santino versus Dolph Ziggler and Cody Rhodes, and, well, let's see what happened. Ziggler hits the zigzag and pins Santino for the win.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. It was a decent match, though. I felt everybody looked pretty strong. That was the story of SmackDown this week, is they kept everybody that has a reason to potentially win looking good, if you know what I'm saying. So, I otherwise, nah, the match was what it was. It was kind of a bit of a throwaway.
Here we go. Charlie Sheen is still advertised as a social media ambassador for the 1,000th episode of Raw, but if you go to twitter.com/Charlie Sheen, he's gone. He's not on Twitter anymore.
Dope.
We get one of many clip packages. It's the AJ Punk Bryan storyline.
Oh.
Big
wait,
Show.
Okay, so go ahead. Wait. If they wasted 10 minutes of my time, I'm going to waste 30 seconds of yours. They recapped everything that happened. Then they showed 10 more minutes of Raw that we just saw in the recap.
Well, I'll tell you what I told my wife, and that is they were not supposed to tape SmackDown on Monday. We talked about this earlier. They moved it from Tuesday night. They made it a super show on Monday. So instead of starting the show earlier to accommodate this and pre-taping Raw and pre-taping SmackDown or taping SmackDown before Raw or anything like that, they taped SmackDown after Raw, but they had to do it quickly. You figure they probably, it was Central Time Zone, or Mountain Time Zone, rather. So it was like 7 o'clock they started Raw. They probably had the building till like 11, so Raw goes till 9-something. They have to tear down the Raw ropes and apron and put all the SmackDown stuff up. And then they start the show. They have less than 2 hours to tape a 2-hour show. Rather than cut out all the commercials and everything, they tape a 2-hour show with commercial break time in an hour and a half. You have to kill that other time somehow. And that's what they did. They showed a whole ton of clip packages on Friday night. And they also showed the Big Show versus the Great Khali. And, yeah. Big Show wins.
Why does WWE think we want to see Khali?
Yeah.
You know,
well,
once in a while.
For a minute.
Once in a while, maybe, but, like, I just don't get it. On a weekly basis, no.
It didn't even go for a minute, though. So at least you're spared that much.
Well, no, did it not even go a minute, including entrances? Did he get clobbered as he's limping out to the ring?
No, he actually got his full entrance.
So it was more than a minute.
Exactly. All right, let's see, what else? Ryback versus Tyler Rex. And Rex wants to do what Hawkins couldn't do on Monday, and he can't. Ryback wins.
So tonight,
he does actually get some moves in, though.
Yeah, true.
It was different than any Ryback match we've seen yet. Like, there were points where Rex was dominating the match.
You know, when we talk about Money in the Bank, I know it's not official, but I am going to ask you your prediction for Ryback versus Rex and Hawkins.
I was just going to say, so it's not written, like we all predicted last week. You know, we said last week it was, what, Hawkins. This week I said it's going to be Rex, and then you said at the pay-per-view was going to be worth both of them.
Exactly. Hugh Jackman, his favorite Raw moment. Guess what? It involved him.
No, really?
Yeah. More of the tout stuff. Damian Sandow versus Justin Gabriel. Sandow wins. You're welcome.
Yep.
Let's see. Sheamus versus Chris Jericho. And let's see. Well, Sheamus wins with the brogue kick. What else is new?
This was the best match on WWE programming all week, though.
Oh, definitely.
And if you guys haven't seen anything and you're going to bother watching this episode of SmackDown, just probably go right to the match. Sorry, but...
I will agree with you on that. Absolutely. And then Del Rio attacks Sheamus and he dangles him off the entrance ramp with the armbar. And then G tells us to, tells you all to call us 716-HOGAN-97. Leave us a voicemail. We'll play it on the air next week. Live on the air, Mixlr.com/BoardWrestlingFan. We're here. We're live. If you're listening to us now, hi, how you doing? You can leave comments, you know. So we got a pay-per-view coming up. Money in the Bank. And we'll run down the card real quick. The pregame show on YouTube. WWE Tag Team Championship. R-Truth and Kofi Kingston defend against Unico and Camacho. Never mind that the primetime players are the number one contenders. G, your thoughts, your prediction.
I don't know what's going to happen on this one. Being a YouTube match, I kind of expect the champs to retain. It's not what I want to see, but that's what I think we'll see.
JT?
Yeah, champs retain.
I will make that a trifecta. The WWE Tag Team champs should retain, because why the hell would they put it on Unico and Camacho? Money in the Bank World Heavyweight Title Ladder Match. Dolph Ziggler versus Christian versus Tensai versus Santino versus Damian Sandow versus Tyson Kidd versus Cody Rhodes versus Sin Cara. JT.
Oh, wow. They put Sin Crappa in this match, too? What the heck, man? I'm going to go with Santino. No, Cody Rhodes.
G.
The funny thing is, I could actually see Santino winning this thing. I could also, believe it or not, actually see Tyson Kidd winning this thing. But for the sake of mental sanity, I would want to see, and I think we'll see, and it's between two guys, really, but I'm going to go with Dolph Ziggler.
Yeah, for me, it's between two guys, and it's the two guys you guys picked. But I'm going to go with Cody Rhodes. Just because he hasn't won his Intercontinental Championship back. He's in line for a push, I think. I feel like it. So I think he's going to win. But it's definitely going to be one of the two of them. All right, World Heavyweight Championship, Sheamus versus Alberto Del Rio G.
I really hope I'm right about this, Alberto Del Rio.
All right, JT.
He is Alberto Del Rio, but we already knew that.
All right. I think Sheamus retains. Hate to go against you guys, but I think Sheamus retains.
Yeah.
All right. Money in the Bank WWE Championship contract match. John Cena versus The Big Show versus Chris Jericho versus Kane. I suppose I should call somebody out. JT.
Well, it's either going to be, in my opinion, it's either going to be Cena or Big Show. I'm going to go with Cena for the simple fact it's the only thing he hasn't done yet is win the Money in the Bank contract, so I'm going to go with Cena. Plus, I'm also thinking he's going to do the rightful thing and, you know, challenge it at a pay-per-view and not come out when the champion's down, and Big Show's going to be the one to cause him to be the first Money in the Bank cash-in to lose.
All right, gee.
This one, I've kind of been on the fence about this week. You know, logic dictates it's John Cena, but, you know, there's been a few pay-per-views lately where the WWE has intentionally not booked what was obvious. And he, you know, it's a good point. Yeah, he's never won Money in the Bank. Does he really need to? I don't know. Maybe he does, maybe he doesn't. I have this weird suspicion, and I'm it's kind of a bit of a lark that, because Money in the Bank can be cashed in any time, and there's one guy in this match who could easily disappear and show back up with it at any time, I'm going to go with him. I'm going to go with Chris Jericho.
All right. I have to go with the obvious. I think it's going to be John Cena. And whether or not he's going to do the, you know, quote, honorable thing, you know, I... Who knows? You know, it's... We've seen Cena say, oh, well, why'd you do that? And then go and do the same thing before, you know? So, whatever.
Yeah, but especially with them this week doing the whole, you know, Punk's been overshadowed by this and that and that, and that he can come out tomorrow night and go, you know what? We got a pay-per-view coming up, and I want it to be the championship focus. You know, even though SummerSlam's going to be all about Hunter and Lesnar and the snooze fest of the century, he's going to try and they're going to try and sell. I can see them try and sell that as going to be the main event.
Yeah. All right. It's not on the list, but I did say I was going to get your predictions. Ryback versus Tyler Rex and Curt Hawkins. G.
Well, of course he's going to squash Trent Beretta, because where's Trent? No, kidding. It's going to be the two of them, and they're both going to eat the finisher with double slam pin thing that he does.
JT.
Yeah, my thing is he going to be able to pick both of them up and do his march around the ring with them before he does it? But yeah, of course it's going to be Ryback.
Ryback for sure. Definitely. What else? Brodus Clay versus Random Jobber. JT.
Random Jobber.
They do this every pay-per-view. I mean, why not?
Just because I want to hear someone to pick Random Jobber.
All right. G.
Children everywhere will win, because they get a dance in the ring with Brodus as he squashes Jobber and eats said Jobber. Nom, nom, nom.
Yeah, I mean, this has happened like every pay-per-view this year so far. Brodus Clay has won a match.
I think done a dance-off,
at least.
I think Random Jobber has finally figured out to punch Brodus Clay in the stomach until he falls down. That will be the key.
WWE Championship, CM Punk versus Daniel Bryan with AJ as the special guest referee, G.
What the hell? I'll go with Daniel Bryan.
JT.
I think AJ will try to turn on Punk, but I still think Punk's going to pull it out.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a thing where you never know who is actually going to win. You can never actually predict this between these two, because we've heard reports that Brian was supposed to win the title the last 2 months. So it could be Brian, but I'm going with Punk. No particular reason, I just think Punk's going to win. All right, you know, I never got the power poll this week. They never sent it out. So we can't do that on the show this week, apparently. So let's just get into the news. One of the top female stars in the world has been offered a WWE deal and is currently undergoing her pre-signing medical testing. Actually, she's passed. Sarah Del Rey has passed her medical testing. Natty Neidhart is already tweeting about it. She says, at the Sarah Del Rey, great things come to those who wait. We've come a long way from Japan. The following shows how ambiguous this signing is among the dirty dirt sheets. The belief at this time is Sarah Del Rey is being signed to train WWE Divas, not be an on-air character herself. That's from The Observer. The signing of Sarah Del Rey is turning heads in WWE, as she's older than the usual divas they sign, 31, and some feels if she is used on TV, it would probably be in a program with Awesome Kong, or Karma.
What?
Yeah, that's from Raja. Sarah Del Rey is one of the best female talents in all of professional wrestling, and that is a huge coup for WWE. If they don't use her on TV, one, they're wasting her, and two, she needs to reevaluate her situation and get the hell out of there right away. not that ROH is using her much either. So, whatever. What else is new, I guess, right?
Yeah, she's an ROH.
Yeah. With the Kings of Wrestling.
I've never seen. Oh wait. I think I might have saw her once when. Is that Claudio Castagnoli and what's his face that's now in the WWE?
Chris Hero, yeah.
Okay. I think they were on like the first episode.
Yeah, they were.
I think I might have seen her on the first episode. Yeah, because I haven't seen any female wrestling. They haven't had any female wrestling matches in any of the episodes I've seen, so.
Yeah. Gee, what are your thoughts on Sarah Del Rey?
I got a mirror sentiment. If they're not going to use her, unless she just wants to be a trainer, and we don't know for sure, but we can always speculate.
Right.
If that's the case, okay, that's cool. That's your decision, you know. And it would benefit the women's wrestling division ridiculous ways. But, you know, if she wants to wrestle, then that's a whole different thing altogether. Yeah, that, but, I mean, considering some other news we're going to get to shortly, it wouldn't shock me in the slightest if they repackage her and ruin her and then don't use her.
Right. Speaking of signings, WWE has also apparently picked up Dragon Gate USA and British wrestling sensation Pac, a.k.a. the man that gravity forgot, not to be confused with X-Pac or Six-Pac or whatever the hell you want to call him. He was denying on Twitter he signed with WWE, but I do believe that we got some kind of confirmation on this earlier in the week. I'm not going to go back and look for it because it was a while ago. But from what I understand, yeah, they have signed Pac, whether he wants to deny it or not. JT, are you familiar at all with Pac?
No, I'm not. It's the man that gravity forgot. Does that mean he's a flippy floppy guy?
Yeah.
Yep.
Gee, you're familiar with Pac, I believe. Yes? You know?
A little bit. I didn't know a lot about him until really only about a year ago. I kept hearing his name dropped, and like a lot of people, I just kind of wondered, is this just Waltman's new, you know, version of his name or whatever? And then I ended up catching a YouTube clip of one of his matches, and I've seen a few. He's pretty solid, but yeah, he fits into this sort of cruiserweight type of class, flippy floppy, if you will. Heard some rumblings about them actually getting that show off the air in November. So I would expect that's where he'll end up, as well as some of the NXT guys, too.
I actually seen Pac a few years ago. They used to do way before TNA started doing the base brawls, they were doing what was called the ballpark brawl here in Buffalo, and we had our own championship and everything. And one of the last one they had, my wife and I went to, and we got to see a lot of guys. We saw Claudio Castagnoli wrestle, and a bunch of the guys that are like on TV now. We got to see wrestle, and Pac was one of the guys on there, and he's pretty good in the ring. A flippy floppy guy, yeah, but it's not for everybody, I guess. But cool, so it's a good signing for WWE, I think, especially if they are gonna finally get this Cruiserweight show going that they're talking about. One guy that won't be on the Cruiserweight show is Matt Morgan, who is also teasing he'll be back in WWE. He was asked on Twitter if he was going back to WWE, and he says, "Well, I know the answer to that one, and very soon everyone will know the answer. Change is good." Go ahead, G. You have a quote here.
And this is coming to you live via Direct Auto Insurance. Hey, weird, you leave, and since you left, the program's become way more interesting and engaging than the WWE. Coincidence? Perhaps. You decide.
JT, thoughts on Matt Morgan potentially coming back to WWE?
Well, I don't know. I just wonder what Japanese name he'll come back under for this one. Since we have Tensai, so.
Man, listen, Matt Morgan is probably one of the better big men in the sport, but he has been so poorly used by both WWE and TNA. It's just ridiculous. I mean, when Jim Cornette predicts that you are going to be a future world champion and then you're not, something is wrong. And I don't necessarily think it's something wrong with Matt Morgan. I think it's just nobody knows how to properly use a guy that size that can move like that, that's decent on the mic. And I don't know, maybe I'm just the only Matt Morgan fan on this show, but I mean, hopefully they'll use him right with this time around. I doubt it, because WWE doesn't know how to use the big guys. They like the big guys, they just don't know how to use them. They wind up like Batista, who finally made his big announcement that he'll be taking on, in a heavyweight MMA fight, Rashid Evans. Not to be confused with the more famous hometown boy of mine, Rashad Evans from the UFC. Who the hell is Rashid Evans? Anybody know?
Teach me.
I don't have a clue. I follow a bit of MMA, but there's only a small handful of guys that I care about. If you don't have a personality, hence a character, I really don't care about you on the UFC. That's pretty much it. So.
Yeah. Go Batista! No. Rashid Evans. You think people would get confused if he fought Rashad Evans on him? I don't know. Yeah. Rashad Evans from my hometown.
And he'll be fighting Giorgio St. Pierre next.
Yeah. Right? Due to Kenny King leaving Ring of Honor for TNA, ROH announced today that they are stripping the All Night Express of their tag team titles. They also announced an 8-team tournament that begins August 3rd in Baltimore, Maryland, to crown new Ring of Honor tag team champions, with the Briscoes as the first entrants. All right. ROH tag team tournament. Who deserves it? JT, who deserves the ROH tag team titles?
Well, I'd have to see who they announced, who all the teams that are announced, because they've got a lot of tag teams in there, so I'd have to say I've only been watching it for about a year, so I'm probably not the best to even ask who should. I'm not a big fan of the Briscoes, so I don't think they should have them, even though they've had them like 150 times. But I would be fine with seeing, wrestling's greatest tag team win them again.
All right, G, who should win the ROH tag team titles?
Well, should or will? are quite different words. I think JT hit the nail on the head. The two teams that are most likely to end up with it are the Briscoes or World's Greatest Tag Team. It just makes more sense that they'll keep the titles looking strong on one of those teams.
What I think, you know what will end up happening is, even though the last match was supposed to be the last match for the titles, the tournament will end up the Briscoes versus Wrestling Greatest Tag Team. I can see it now, right now, happening.
You're probably right, and if I had to pick a team to win, if I was booking the show, it would be Wrestling's Greatest Tag Team for the name recognition and the fact that, you know, they've held the titles and they're proven commodities with the titles. So, who knows?
Well, the plus side is that because it's a tournament, they could have some really good matches with other teams going towards the end and plant seeds for future feuds, so... That's why I think it really would make sense to put it on one of the two, you know, more notable teams, because then you can continue to build new guys and keep the titles looking strong and save a little bit of a face from kind of how this all went down, because I'm sure there's going to be a lot of people who are going to be looking at it all differently unless they establish, you know, reestablish the strength of the division, which they have to. They have to do this now, so.
All right, is Rhett Titus in the tournament at all? Do you think they would give him a new partner?
Probably.
And stick him in the tournament?
I could see it.
G?
I'd hope so. I mean, it would be kind of unfortunate if the guy gets punished because Kenny King chose to leave. And I mean, we talked about the King thing last week, and I don't have any negativity towards King, but really unfair for Titus getting the short end of the stick if that was the case.
All right.
Probably give him like a TV title or something, and, you know, because they've been giving that around like hot potato lately, so.
True. Yeah, I mean, maybe this is the start of good things for Rhett Titus. Who knows? Sunny is PO'd again at the Dirt Sheet Writers, who reported her boyfriend pulled her panties off during an indie wrestling show. My God, you people, and especially the Dirt Sheet Writers, don't know at work when you see or hear about one. Nothing was exposed, and there was a second pair worn under the pair removed, and you all think you're smart. LOL. As far as kids being in the audience, the company is called F the World Wrestling. Not a soul should be offended. Gee! Thoughts?
I love the name of that wrestling promotion, and that was one of the reasons this really, caught my attention. At first I just figured, oh, it's Sunny being Sunny, you know. And since we didn't have any Kenny this week, as far as I know, I figured I'd pass the mantle over to Sunny for being just ridiculous and awesome and hilarious at the same time. So good on you, Sunny. You made me laugh. I chortled a bit of milk out of my nose, even though I'm lactose intolerant, so I'm not sure how it got in there, but there you go.
JT, thoughts?
This just sounds to me like someone just wants some attention because, you know, maybe they're not booked on a certain 1,000th episode that's coming up in a couple of weeks.
Yeah. Seriously, I mean, I didn't even hear anything about this until I saw this in our little notes here. it's the most ridiculous thing. Like, okay, if the Dirt Sheet writers are writing about this, how come I didn't see it in the Dirt Sheets?
Yeah,
no. Lucha Libre wrestlers, you know, the flippy floppy guys JT loves.
The masked flippy floppy guys.
Yeah. Perform for free in Mexico's poorest neighborhoods. How could you hate these guys? Come on. The Caravan Super Terran Wrestling Traveling Wrestling Show brings Mexico's Lucha Libre wrestling to the capital's poorest neighborhoods, orphanages, and prisons, giving free performances to those who don't have the money to buy a $22 ticket to see a professional wrestling event at one of Mexico City's big arenas. That is, like, that's cool. I mean, gee.
Oh, yeah.
Gee.
Oh, go ahead, JT. Go ahead.
No, JT, somebody really, go ahead. One of you guys.
No matter what my opinion, that's still a good thing, huh? You know, anybody that does something like that is a good thing.
Yeah. Gee, your thoughts?
Yeah, I'm complete agreement here. The reason I wanted to put it on our news segment is I just wanted to draw attention to it. It's cool to see these guys. I mean, a lot of these guys probably aren't making that much money themselves, but they're giving back and you know, that's it's really hard to be negative on, and we need more positive stories, because most of our stuff are train wrecks and Twitter wars and
Kenny!
The like. Exactly. yeah, they had a nice little photo blog I included when you get a chance, check it out. You can see, like, where they're really wrestling is pretty impoverished areas, so very, very stark contrast to what we're used to in North America, that's for sure.
All right. Yeah, I mean, that's one of the coolest things that we've gotten to talk about on the show, I think, is, you know, I mean, you don't see that. You don't see... I mean, we see guys like John Cena and Jack Swagger doing Make-A-Wish, and you know, but we don't see them wrestling in, you know, poor, impoverished areas of the country. You want to see us wrestle, you got to pay, you know? An LLC based out of New York named Mocker has registered the trademark ECW for wrestling use, as apparently WWE let the trademark slip, and the registration was assigned to an examiner within the past week. Which is funny, because when I first read this, I was actually watching the ECW Blu-ray yesterday. And I remembered a tweet that Joey Styles sent out a couple of weeks ago, and it said, if you want to see more ECW DVDs and Blu-rays, you have to buy this one. Buy this one, and they'll make more. If you don't buy this one, they have no incentive to make more. And, well, apparently they're not going to be making any more, because what the hell are they going to call it if they can't use ECW for wrestling use? It's not theirs anymore, apparently. Gee, your thoughts?
Well, we'll see how this develops. I'm sure the WWE will probably try to reacquire the name. But when I read this this morning, actually, you know, immediately I'm hearing the arena chant, "You effed up," just like the good old days.
Yeah. JT, your thoughts?
I think we're going to hear soon that an LLC based out of New York named Mocker has just become a multimillionaire.
Yeah, exactly.
As WWE buys back the trademark.
Yeah.
Well, Vince, how many of you guys do I gotta fire to get the ECW name back?
Yeah, wow. How do you? It's been such a big part of your brand. How do you let that go? I mean, that's ridiculous. And maybe these guys will play hardball. Maybe these guys will be like, nope, we want it. We're going to bring back ECW. We're going to do it right. Maybe they'll sell it to Shane Douglas. What if they sell it to Shane Douglas and Extreme Rising or whatever it's called becomes ECW again? And these aren't reunion shows anymore. These are the new ECW shows. What happens? Who knows? This is interesting. This is a story we're going to be following, I'm sure. Speaking of trademarks, WWE has registered to trademark WWE Spotlight as a name for an upcoming television show, but were twice denied, the second time final. They've also registered the trademark for Ryback. JT, any thoughts?
Well, I guess Skip Sheffield, when he gets released, can't fall back on Ryback anymore.
He'll just call himself Ryberg. Gee, your thoughts?
Well, no, it's the other way around. They were able to secure the Spotlight. They weren't able to secure Ryback.
Oh,
they were twice denied trying to get Ryback. For what reasons, I don't know. Again, another one I caught this morning, not a lot of elaboration. Didn't really feel like scrolling through the PWI billion and a half stories to try to find the one, you know, two paragraph one that probably had one extra sentence.
Then Ryback's gonna be a rich man.
Yeah, well, I think he can't trademark it either. There must be some reason, like, it's, you know, like when they were trying to trademark Yes.
Right. You can't get the Yes, Yes, Yes shirt from the Overstock bin and barbershop window anymore, by the way. If I was Barbershop Window, I'd be selling the shirt, and when they come around soon, I'd be like, no, you guys stole the idea from us. We did it first. But whatever, I digress. Yeah, now that I'm reading this a second time, yeah, I get how it was supposed to be read. WWE has registered a trademark. WWE Spotlight is named for an upcoming television show, but were twice denied, the second time final, a trademark for the name Ryback. Gotcha. All right. 1,000th Raw, X-Pac, Sean Waltman, is not likely for the 1,000th Raw due to WWE considering him to be a liability due to him showing up in an NXT taping uninvited and a history of bizarre antics in the past. Gee, thoughts?
I guess they must have edited out Waltman. I'd imagine they would at the NXT taping. That kind of sucks. I know they've announced the D-Generation X reunion, and for obvious reasons, I wouldn't expect Chyna or Scott Hall, but, you know, Billy Gunn, Road Dogg, and X-Pac all, I think, could at least make an appearance, you know. If it's about celebrating the past, these guys all contributed quite a lot to the faction. But I guess if this is true, we're only going to probably get the Hunter and Sean show, but which again. Is fine. But, oh, yeah, again, exactly.
JT, your thoughts?
Well, it's just a wonder what he showed up to NXT doing. Did he show up with the WSX title and thinking it was a WSX taping?
Hey, you never know. I hear he's cleaned up his act, but who knows? I don't know. I don't want the Hunter and Sean show.
Unfortunately, it's what's going to be.
No!
Well, the thing is, you got to realize they can still do the DX reunion and have the New Age Outlaws anti-X, because technically before X-Pac was in all that, it was, you know, New Age Outlaws were officially, they were always hanging around them, so.
True.
Yeah, but don't you want to see Waltman on top of a tank with the boys driving up to the arena?
Oh, well, whatever.
One more time.
Whatever.
And they let them in, too. That would be even better.
Yeah. The WWE social media ambassador Charlie Sheen has quit Twitter. Maybe it's work, maybe not. Either way, our upcoming train wreck of tweet-tacular live Raw moments, live Raw tweets have gone the way of DirecTV and Viacom. Source, sarcastic G, who almost got us thrown off the air. good thing I stopped myself. Yeah, Sheen has shut down at Charlie Sheen on Twitter. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but, you know, whatever. yeah, he's no longer on Twitter. So, who replaces Charlie Sheen as the WWE social media ambassador, G?
I don't think anyone will. They've been advertising it for quite a bit now, and maybe they'll just sweep it under the rug and pretend we never saw that. I don't know who would replace him. I don't know why they announced him in the first place, honestly, just considering the potential disaster it could have been anyway. But that's my take on it. I don't think anyone's going to replace him.
JT, same question.
Charlie Sheen, it's a work. You can shut down. I have done it before. You can close your Twitter account and restart it like almost like nothing happened. So, yeah, he might have it shut down right now, but he can also turn it right back on the day of the 1,000th Raw. So,
all right. For me, the only guy crazy enough to replace Charlie Sheen is the WWE Raw social media ambassador, and trust me, it won't happen. Is Tyler the Creator? Tyler the Creator, he is from some rap group. I forget. But his tweets are insane. The Creator, I'll tell you exactly who he is in a second. His tweets are insane. He is he's from the alternative hip hop group Odd Future. And I cannot say his Twitter name on the air lest we get kicked off of iTunes. yeah, he's got some crazy tweets. He'd be the guy I'd pick, but it won't happen. Dolph Ziggler, Zack Ryder, and Justin Roberts were in a car accident a couple of days ago. Their vehicle was rear-ended, leaving the San Diego Comic-Con. They were all evaluated by paramedics at the scene. They are all fine. They are none of them got hurt. Ryder, you know, messed up his neck a little bit, but he's okay. Roberts, I think, cut open his leg. They all did interviews with WWE.com. They're all fine. Anybody have anything they want to add to this, or just move on?
Good, get well soon.
All right.
Yeah, it's good. They're okay. I mean, that's about all you can say. It's an accident. It's happened to everybody, celebrities or not.
Yeah, luckily they are all okay, and hopefully none of them miss any time. WWE has now officially rehired Dave Fit Finley as a producer. Again, another, you know, that's pretty much all there is to say, unless you guys have something else to add. JT?
I'd say it's about time. I mean, he was the fall guy for Mrs. Whatever he did at that live show with the armed forces. It's like, he was a fall guy, so I'm glad he got his job back, I guess.
There you go. He was the fall guy, but it was because it was his idea, apparently, from what I understand. He sent the Miz out there. It was his idea for the spot to interrupt the national anthem or whatever he did.
Ah, kick a Brazilian flag in the audience. What can you do?
Exactly. All right. The big story this week, DirecTV and Viacom apparently didn't agree to keep negotiating after Tuesday night's midnight deadline and keep the channels on while they worked out a new deal in good faith. Spike TV, BET, MTV, MTV2, Nickelodeon, and much more are gone. And if you're a DirecTV customer, you're supposed to call the customer service line 1-800-531-5000 and complain. Which I did, by the way. I actually have been having trouble with my satellite in my living room. So I called the 800 number, and while the girl's trying to talk me through resetting my box or whatever, you know, I said, so, you're going to compensate me for not having my Viacom channels, right? Oh, I know, it's horrible, you're losing 8 channels. Like, wait a minute, I thought I was losing 26 channels. No, they're double counting. If they're double counting, 8 would be 16. But their solution was, oh, we'll give you $5 off for the next 2 months. Oh, well, that's great. You know? Oh, but we gave you new channels. We gave you Disney Junior. Like,
yeah.
And I still can't watch SpongeBob. My wife can't watch Teen Mom, and I can't watch wrestling on Thursdays. That doesn't help me.
And oh, Justin Ruff can't watch J. Ron Snooki.
Right. Well, she goes, oh, well, you know, we gave you this channel. I'm like, you know, I already had all those channels. You didn't give me anything. You gave me Disney Junior. Ooh. And then after I got on the phone with the girl, I'm thinking about it. I'm like, wait a minute. I can count without even going on a website or anything. How many Viacom channels, you know, more than 8 Viacom channels that she said I'm losing. And then it went on, and I got up to like 14, I think, and I stopped counting because I was going through, like, seeing which channels were off the air. But, I mean, depending on who you ask, it's one or the other's fault. This is Viacom's side of the story. The last proposal DirecTV had made was lower than anyone else pays in the industry. And a deal said we would not... And a deal we said we would not do out of fairness to other distributors. It is essentially the same proposal they had been talking about for 3 weeks and one we continually said we would not do. DirecTV also refused to engage with us on any issues related to the deal beyond the rate increase. We are ready to talk at any time. DirecTV, meanwhile, says Viacom has certainly rejected more than a double-digit increase, and they won't even tell us what their lowest rates are and have a conversation based on that. The latter story characterizes their negotiations as making slow progress, which doesn't bode well for Impact Wrestling being back on Thursday night, which obviously it's still out now. And as of yesterday, the DirecTV versus Viacom fiasco has clearly hurt the Impact Wrestling rating, as this week's show did a 0.8 with 1.1 million viewers, That's what happens when 20% of your audience goes up in smoke. Now, I've been following this whole story. This has been just ridiculous because, first of all, look, I missed Impact on Thursday. Not happy about that. I've actually been enjoying the show lately. I can't watch, you know, Nickelodeon if I'm bored. I couldn't watch the 90s or all that last night, you know. And I'm just, you know, I can't watch that metal show on VH1 Classic, and I can't watch a whole bunch of shows that we would normally watch. And I'm frustrated about it. So I've been following the story, and I know DirecTV is like, oh, well, you know, we don't want DirecTV to increase your bill. We just want them to pay us what's fair. They don't necessarily have to increase our bill because they made a $5 billion profit last year. DirecTV, on the other hand, oh, well, Viacom wants $1 billion more every year, and it's going to result in a huge increase in your bill. Me, I'm just like, I really, really, really don't care whose fault it is because I just want my damn TV channels back that I'm paying for. Whatever. Yeah. JT, you have any thoughts on this?
Don't worry, you'll get your channels back. These things have a way of working themselves out.
I know they do.
Because, like I said, we lost a whole bunch of channels at the beginning of the year for Time Warner, and I think they were okay. You might have to miss a month, but you know, you can't do anything. If you can't do anything, there's nothing much you can do.
My issue, I'm locked under contract because I switched to DirecTV in January when Time Warner dropped MSG Network.
Yeah, well, we got it back.
You got it back. I know that, but I mean, I switched and I'm under contract. I can't do a damn thing about this.
I know.
Gee, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I didn't realize they had a contract set up. That does suck. I mean, the obvious option would still be a headache. I think you will get your channels back sooner than later, too. I agree with JT on that. But, you know, the obvious alternative, if you were in a contract, is still a massive headache. I mean, yeah, you could switch subscribers, but then you have, like, set up service fees and arranging times for these guys in their windows, you know, be at your house at some point between 10 a.m. and 6 p.m. It's like, I have a job.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
Those things, I'm sure you guys have as much fun with as I do. And, yeah, if you're in a contract, you don't even get that option, which is still not really a fair option. I guess they probably worded the contract very carefully to say that, you know, card subject to change or something along those lines with channels being provided, eh?
I'm sure it does. I didn't even look at it. I didn't even go to find out what the contract says, but I'm sure if I was like, well, screw you guys, I'm out of here, they'd be like, okay, well, you owe us $300.
Yeah.
You know? That's why I can't get out of my Sprint. That's why I can't switch out of Sprint. I'm stuck with them for 2 years. Whatever. I don't know. But, you know, the good thing is, yes, these things do resolve themselves. This will work out, and Viacom will be back sooner rather than later, I'm sure, on DirecTV's network. But, I mean, for millions of subscribers that are now without these channels, and you got to look at it this way, is that Viacom is the most watched content provider on DirecTV because they have Nickelodeon and they have MTV and they have, you know, VH1.
Comedy Central,
yeah. I mean, they're going to... they'll cave eventually, I'm sure. In fact, they had a... Let me see if Viacom still got their little commercial up here. They had a little commercial making fun of DirecTV. I don't know if it's still there. Had SpongeBob and Stephen Colbert. Oh, yeah, there it is. Right here.
Drops your favorite channels. SpongeBob gets upset. When SpongeBob gets upset, he calls Stephen Colbert. When he calls Stephen Colbert, Colbert rallies the troops. When Colbert rallies the troops, Elka calls for alien backup.
This is Candy Cane.
And when Elka calls for alien backup, Cartman gets a satellite lodged up his ass. Don't let Cartman get a satellite lodged up his ass. Call DirecTV now at 800-531-5000 and demand that DirecTV brings back your favorite channels.
Yeah, I thought that was hilarious when I first saw that the other night. Don't reenact scenes from Platoon with Charlie Sheen.
Yeah.
Winning. Anyway. All right. Moving on. WWE announced the other day that an investment and strategic partnership with Tout Industries, Inc. that will leverage WWE's vast array of assets, including television, live events, digital, print, and more than 100 million social media followers, to expand Tout's platform for real-time video status update, creating a new dynamic social experience for WWE fans. Beginning July 23rd, during the historic 1,000th episode of Monday Night Raw, WWE fans will have the chance to be seen and heard via Tout, as real-time video updates will be featured during WWE television programming on WWE.com, throughout WWE's social media presence, and on in-arena video displays. WWE superstars will also interact with fans via Tout question and answer sessions leading up to the event. Additionally, WWE will launch Tout Tuesdays, giving fans the opportunity to discuss what happened the previous night on Monday Night Raw. Tout's new platform will enable WWE to aggregate all of this unique content on WWE.com. WWE is in a class by itself as media giant who innovatively grown their own business through social media, said Michael Downing, CEO of Tout. We cannot envision a better partner to show how the Tout platform powers high-impact, real-time engagement across broadcast, TV, digital, and live events. WWE looks forward to partnering with Tout to grow this innovative social media platform, said Vince McMahon, WWE chairman and CEO. Tout's real-time video technology will become a critical component of fan interactivity in our weekly television programming and will be utilized to connect WWE directly with our fans in new ways. Tout is a social media platform that allows users to easily shoot 15-second video status updates via smartphones and webcams. Touts are published real-time and automatically to Tout.com, Twitter, Facebook, Pinterest, SMS and email contacts. Through Tout's reply feature, users can engage in Tout conversations. WWE is one of the most socially active brands with more than 100 million social media followers, 1 billion video views on YouTube, and an average of 50 trending topics every week on Twitter. We got a little preview of the Tout thing the other night on SmackDown, so speaking of SmackDown, start with G. Give us your thoughts.
I was rather annoyed by it. Not looking forward to this feature. I just found it really boring and immediately started fast-forwarding the second time it came on the show, and I have a feeling I'll continue to do so when Raw goes 3 hours and 1 hour is filled with Tout.
Yeah. JT, your thoughts?
Same here. I agree with G 100%.
Yeah, I mean, I have read that they're worried that an hour is going to be, like, social media stuff. All right. I'm going to skip over this one. I'm going to go to the next one, and we'll come back to this because this is probably the big story of the week for WWE. But before we get to it, JBL has his own announcement. Just book mountains in Africa, South America, and Antarctica all by January. Seven Summit for Kids training starts Sunday. So hopefully this time JBL will be able to get to the peaks of all these mountains. JT, any thoughts?
Good luck.
All right, G, any thoughts?
Yeah, for sure. Good luck for JBL. I know we were all a little disappointed when he had to come back down. He had hypoxia, if I recall.
Yeah.
And that would be something I'm sure he has taken under consideration and reassessing how he decides to perform the climbs, but we've said it before here on Border Wrestling Fan Radio. We fully endorse his effort, and more power to you there, Mr. Bradshaw.
Absolutely. I mean, definitely wish him the best of luck in getting all this done. This is a big story. Karma. The rumors are running rampant here. I'll just read what you got here. The story has changed about five times in the last 6 hours. Number one, Karma's profile was moved to the alumni section of WWE.com. People couldn't find her profile on WWE.com, and she was asked if she was released on Twitter. She made several jokes about it. Ryan Satin of TMZ says Karma has been released. Karma's profile was put back to the superstars section of WWE.com. Dave Meltzer reports that Karma was supposed to be released, but word leaked out early, so now WWE may keep her on the roster just to save face, much like when they kept FCW going when word leaked out early about FCW's TV show being canceled. It's crazy. It's still going on, by the way. There's more. Let's see. The latest is, give me a second, I'm getting to it. Karma continues to mix up speculation on her WWE future by tweeting that she is taking no bookings. The WWE superstar has been much in the news this week by being added to the alumni section of the WWE website. JT, I'm going to start with you. What do you think?
Well, if it's true, then it's a sad waste. But I want to wait to see if she's actually legitimately, you know, this could be a complete work. We could, you know, because they could just be messing with us because they know how we love to complain about everything they do. So,
yeah. All right. G, your thoughts.
There is definitely the possibility of a work. There is no women's match scheduled tonight on the pay-per-view. Hey, that could happen, but, there's also other elements of it, like not just the flipping and flopping around, you know, sans lucha, but the alumni section. Like, I like Karma, don't get me wrong, and I really want her on television, because I think the women's division or the diva division is dead. What did she do, really, to deserve to be put in the alumni section, really? I mean, she was around for, what, like, 4 weeks, and she ran into the Royal Rumble, and that's it. I mean, I'm sorry that if she's released and ends up in the alumni section, I'll have a big issue with that. I don't like that. I just don't feel that she contributed enough to their particular promotion. I'm not talking about what she's done outside the promotion. You know, in a wrestling Hall of Fame that has no brand affiliation, yeah, she could go in, and I wouldn't argue or dispute that in a few years at all. What? Alumni? What? I'm done.
All right. My thought on it, and there is always this huge possibility here. Somebody on WWE.com is sitting there like, huh, why is she in our divas section? She hasn't, does she even still work here? I'm going to move her to the, this has got to be a mistake. And they moved her to the alumni section thinking she didn't work there. And then somebody noticed it after the dirt sheets picked it up, and they're like, hey, what the hell are you doing? Put her back. Who knows? I guess we'll find out. All right, little more news that's not in our little thing here. We just talked about this a little bit, but it's being reported that many of the WWE backstage talent are still not high on Raw's third hour. They believe Raw will be back to 2 hours within 2012 or the start of 2013. However, now that hashtag Raw Active has been announced, many backstage believe the full third hour has been added to extend a two-hour show to include Tout, Twitter, and YouTube, mainly to show fans videos, statuses, and updates. While WWE sees this as going interactive as possible, some see it as a complete waste of an hour, and I fall into that category. I'm sure you do too, G. Yes?
Yep.
And you too, JT?
I'll definitely go third of that.
All right. Edge is expected to be at Raw 1000 in a week's time to add to the major list of talent set for the show. Many more WWE legends are still set to be in talks with WWE. Why couldn't we get Edge last week with the guest GM? The Raw GM, the anonymous computer thingy. Let's see. Oh, this happened. This past weekend, the National Wrestling Hall of Fame ceremony at the Dan Gable Museum took place with entrants such as JBL, Gerald Briscoe, and Kurt Angle. However, Angle was unable to make the trip and had a 10-minute video package set up for the audience in the ceremony. Unfortunately, Jerry Briscoe auctioned off the award for $250 at the ceremony, which led to Angle tweeting this: Jerry Briscoe made a mockery out of me and the Dan Gable Museum Hall of Fame by auctioning off my award. This award is a huge honor. You spit on me. Due to obligations I had with my wedding, I could not attend the Hall of Fame. I even made a 10-minute video proudly accepting this great honor. I'm disappointed I couldn't go, but devastated Jerry gave away my award. Very classy, Jerry. Gee, what are your thoughts?
I didn't hear anything about this. It is kind of a bit of a jerk move, I guess.
He's one of the other inductees that he's auctioning off our Angle's award. JT, your thoughts?
Whatever.
You think Vince put him up to it? Like, oh, he works for another company. You get that award. You get rid of it. Do something with it.
Probably.
All right. WWE diva Kelly Kelly is set to appear in Bakersfield, California this Friday. It's a $60 ticket with two autographs, a photo with Kelly, and a meal. This has nothing to do with WWE, by the way. But the banner that they have does list her as WWE diva Kelly Kelly. So, I don't know. What do you think, JT?
Everybody gets advertised as, you know, even if you go to your indie shows, come on, you get former WWE, they always use former WWE superstar.
But this doesn't say former, I'll read you the whole flyer here. An evening with WWE diva Kelly Kelly at Skybar Lounge, Friday, July 20th.
It's not like they offered, it's not like it's fully announced on the WWE website that she's been released. You know, there's probably a lot of people. There's probably a lot of people out there going, "Oh, where's the Kelly Kelly band?"
Yeah. Okay. Your thoughts?
I think that JT summed it up. I mean, I don't recall ever hearing an official release. I thought it was time off. And as long as she wants to take time off, like, extend that time, please, Miss Kelly, 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 Kelly.
Yeah.
Take a couple of decades, okay? It's cool. No right. problem.
Well, here is an interesting stat, interesting few stats for you guys. A PW Insider contributor has revealed an interesting stat that can make you shake your head or be very happy. John Cena on a house show Saturday got his 100th win of 2012 out of 108 matches. He's only lost 4, and 4 have ended in a no contest or a draw. He also notes Daniel Bryan has wrestled 113 matches in 2012, the most, with 35 wins and 75 losses. And for your amusement, Brodus Clay has 78 wins and 1 loss, with Ryback's 52 wins and apparently 1 loss. So, what do you think? What do you think of those stats?
Wow, the Ryback one's probably the bigger shock to me than the other ones. I mean, Super Cena, we call him that for a reason. I recall the Brodus loss to the Big Show, so I already knew about that one. When did Ryback lose? Did they even mention where that happened? It must have been a house show, but...
Yeah, it had to have been... I don't know, but...
I would expect that was probably before he debuted his character. It was probably, getting back into ring shape in the house show. So, excuse me, the house show circuit.
Yeah.
The tongue twister there.
All right, JT, your thoughts? Hello, JT. There you are.
Not surprised. It's really not surprising other than the one Ryback loss.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm kind of surprised by this Daniel Bryan thing. He was world heavyweight champion for the first 3 months of the year. And he's got 35 wins and 74 losses. That's definitely some interesting stats there.
I'm sure he's been jobbing out to like CM Punk like twice a weekend all year though. It's just about.
Oh, probably, I would, yeah.
Other than that, he wasn't really booked as a strong champion. I'm sure he got a bunch of like DQ finishes and you know heelish type of antics. He got him DQ'd. I would expect that would explain it. But you're right. That's a stark contrast for a guy who was the title holder for 3 months. That's 7 months into the year already. So.
Right. Huh. Let's see. XWCW wrestler Marcus Buff Bagwell, who was largely recovered from his injuries he sustained in a serious car accident back on April 23rd in Cherokee County, Georgia, was arrested this past Monday and charged with reckless driving in the same location. Bagwell was taken into custody by the Cherokee County Sheriff's Office, but has since been released on bond. Gee, go ahead.
Oh, wow. Wow. I mean, we did wish this guy to get better. I guess we probably should have tossed in initially, learn from your lessons, perhaps?
Yeah.
What a goof move, man.
JT.
There's other words no, I want to use, but you know the rules.
Yeah, JT.
No comment.
All right. Yeah, no, definitely dude needs to learn from his mistakes. I mean, come on. You got in a car accident. You very, very, very much suffered serious injuries at the hands of this car accident, and you're going to go do the same stupid crap. I mean, jeez. Whatever. WWE Hall of Famer Steve Austin's Redneck Island has been renewed for a second season by the Country Music Television, which you can't watch if you have DirecTV. The first season saw the Texas Rattlesnake hosts as 12 contestants compete for $100,000 in a tropical paradise. A new website for the show's second season has been launched at redneckislandcasting.com. JT, have you seen the show? Any thoughts?
No.
G, have you seen the show? Any thoughts?
I tried to, but it's not available in my market, and I couldn't watch it through their website because of the region differences, so... I have you seen it? Is it any good? You
know, I have not seen it. I can't say that I have. And now I can't watch it at all. Anyway. And the last bit of news I have is The Miz has recently posted on Twitter an answer to replies on his appearance at Money in the Bank, only if WWE recognizes my talent. The Miz has also been said to be frustrated with his current position within the company, indicating he is a lot better than how WWE are using him, and disappointed he is not receiving a bigger push. The Miz has recently been filming The Marine 3, but is said to be nearly finished filming. Gee, your thoughts on The Miz?
Well, I'm kind of glad he's gone right now. I think his character needs a bit of freshening up. He could pop up, I guess, as a surprise entrant. He would qualify, would he not, for the four-man match, because he was technically a title holder. A
couple of weeks ago, there was speculation that they might add a couple more people into the match, and those people would have been The Miz and Rey Mysterio, both former WWE Mysterio champions. And so, it could happen, but I doubt it. JT, your thoughts?
Well, Raw 1000's coming up. You could see him then. You could show back up then.
Yeah, but, I mean, this is a guy that carried the company for a year until he finally lost the title it was John Cena that beat him, wasn't it?
Yeah.
But, it's the guy that was carrying the company. He was on doing all this, you know, all the television, all that other stuff, you know. I remember his two appearances very well on Conan O'Brien. You know, he was on there with the Ginger Ninja. Conan holds up the belt and Miz is like, "You have it upside down," because he was holding it with the WWE logo the right side up. But I mean, I mean, they blame The Miz for, like, everything, and that's led to the "Damn it, Miz" meme on the internet, and, I mean, the guy, what possibly has this guy done wrong on TV and in the ring and everything, that they're blaming him for everything and not giving him the push he deserves. And I don't get it. I mean, this is a guy, he was WWE champion for, like, what, he went in November? He lost it in May or something? I'm baffled. Oh, well, whatever. I'm sure when he comes back and he's done filming The Marine and The Marine 3 is about to come out, they're going to, you know, push the hell out of him for like 2 months, and then he's going to disappear. You know, like Ted DiBiase. I don't know. Whatever. Anybody else have anything else to talk about wrestling related this week before we close the show?
No, I'm good.
Gee.
I just wanted to note that in the Monday night Punk Daniel Bryan match, there was a little nod to the Chael Sonnen Anderson Silva fight UFC on Saturday that pretty much nobody noticed except for the very few fans that watch both. But it was, if you had, there was no mistaking that it was a little tribute. So I like that. That was one of the very few things I liked this week in WWE land. Other than that, I'm done. I'm going stampeding, boys.
All right. Well, you have great. You have a good time at the Stampede, being a Canadian redneck, and well, I'll have fun uploading this article, uploading this audio to boardwrestlingfan.com. By the way, we have an interview with Danny Saint that will be up tomorrow. I have not edited it yet, so I haven't. That's why you didn't get a preview. But we're back to doing interviews. Danny Saint tomorrow noon. Check it out. We are on Mixlr.com now, Mixlr.com/boardwrestlingfan. You can listen to us live every Sunday at 2-ish Eastern, and as well as still get the podcast from the usual places, iTunes, boardwrestlingfan.com, wonderpodonline.com. For JT and G-Hall, I am Think So Joe. And we will see you guys next week right here, 2 p.m., Mixlr.com, Board Wrestling Fan.